This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
We'll circle back to Kevin Durant's performance a little bit later on in the show, and we missed some of you on the Washington football optimism level scale. We'll get to that maybe later on in the show as well. But Diana Russini is with us right now, one of my favorites to have on the show and talk football. And, you know, whenever I have anybody on the show, the first thing I do is I immediately go to their Twitter account to see what they've been interested in recently. And as a, you know, four-star all states athlete from the state of New Jersey, you tweeted out, "I hate obvious basic tweets. We all know this." And it was a retweet that New Jersey has become America's best state to live in. First of all, if you told me right now that there was a survey of best states to live in, and all of my in-laws are in Jersey, all right? They're all in Monmouth County, down, you know, at the beach in Spring Lake in that area, Belmar, that area. So I spend a lot of time in Jersey, but I would have never ever thought that Jersey in any poll was the best state to live in. But they do have great pork rolls, first, don't they?
They do, first of all. Hello. It is so good to hear your voice. I love joining you. You are a very lucky man if you get to spend time in the Spring Lake Belmar area. I mean,
yeah,
talk
lovely.
About the center of beauty.
It is.
It took me until I got a little older to appreciate that area of New Jersey, because in my early 20s, that's obviously a great social bar scene when you're single. I never even knew how beautiful it was because I was just going there at nighttime and never really looking around, just looking at the entrance to the door to get in to wherever I was hanging out. But now that I'm a little older, we actually, in my family, we have a place down there as well. So I don't know how you could argue for someone who actually has experienced the beauty of New Jersey, why would you have any issue with the fact that New Jersey is one of the best?
Well, because there are areas of Jersey, you know, and, you know, not all. Bergen County is lovely. We know it's one of the most affluent and beautiful counties of any place. It's a suburban New York county in the country. You know, it is funny, you know, and I don't know, I'm going to digress here and get into a slightly different subject off of this, though. You know how you're married now, and you I don't know where your husband's from, but my wife grew up, you know, going to their place on the Jersey Shore. I spent all of my summers going to the Delaware beaches, Bethany specifically. And, you know, there's a preference you have based on how you grew up and the beaches you went to that you don't lose. And then you end up getting into this argument. No. We're going to Bethany this summer. No, we're going to Spring Lake. And I will admit to you that the Jersey beaches and Spring Lake in that area in particular, I love, even more than what I grew up going to, but I think that's rare. I think people stick with what they remember and what they grew up and what their memories are.
I would say the biggest fight that we have in our home is exactly what you're speaking to. I'm smiling as you're explaining this because my husband's from Philadelphia and
LBI.
I'm from Bergen County. I'm north. No. He's Seattle City.
No, but I'm saying, he went to LBI or the Delaware beaches?
No, he did south, like Atlantic City, Wildwood, Seattle City. Those were his beaches.
Uh-huh.
So I'm a little bit north. And for the listeners here who are going, I don't care about these beaches, It's a sport, though. It has a competitiveness to it, and there's a lot of pride in, from, you know, wherever you grew up, you think that's the best. And I never went south, really, of LBI. That was like my, that was our family's, like, that's as far as we go, you know, which, by the way, it's like an hour door to door. But we don't travel any further than that. And then I met my husband, and now I have.
Did we just lose Diana? All right, let's call her back. We're going to get to football, people. Don't worry about it. And I know not everybody gets to go to the beach in the summer. I understand that. And I know people like different kinds of summer vacations. Lots of people like going to the mountains. Lots of people like going to, they've got a river house or a lake house, etc. And a lot of you haven't had the chance to take a lot of vacation, which, by the way, I haven't taken any the last two summers. None of us have over the last year and a half. But there is this Jersey Shore sort of rivalry. And then you get into the Delaware beaches and the Maryland beaches, whatever. It's typically what you were used to growing up. Do we have Diana back? Okay. Let's, I know where you were headed with it, and it always is sort of this, you know, debate. That and a lot of other things related to families and decision making. But let's get to some football. And I do want to ask you about our team here momentarily.
Yeah.
But has Mark Murphy helped or hurt the situation with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay? Seems like a simple question, but I'm just curious as to what your answer is and how you elaborate on it.
Yeah, I would, if I had the choice of A and B, I'd say B, hurt. I think anytime you're doing anything to poke the bear, it can't be helpful. And we know that this situation is really delicate. It has been. I've spoken to enough people in Green Bay, high level people, all the way, you know, down to people that you know aren't even involved in an Aaron Rodgers contract situation or even in his life, but. The sense there is everyone is supposed to be on board and on the same page, which is we got to get Aaron back, which means speak less. And when you do speak words that will do nothing but make him feel great about returning. And the fact that he veered off. And Kev, you know what's funny? I was reflecting on it one day when I was after I watched it a few times, because I had to talk about it on TV as well. I was thinking, gosh, I've done that before. I've opened up or went a little too far, digressed from what I wanted to really say because of nerves, because maybe I had a glass of wine before I spoke somewhere. maybe it was just a mood I was in, right? So I was trying to give them a little benefit of the doubt initially of, Maybe he just did it, right? Like everyone's done it. We've all done it. We've said too much. You know, you run into someone in the grocery store that you haven't seen in a while, and you're like, why did I share that? Why would I say that? You know, but you have to figure somebody in the position he's in, when the words or the name Aaron Rodgers crosses your brain, you immediately know the red flag goes up to be sensitive to it. But, you know, that being said, sometimes I've seen this happen as well. There's so many private conversations happening that you sort of forget the line of, I'm not talking to, you know, the people in the building who, you know, we have a circle of trust. These are, you know, Green Bay Packer fans and people that want to see us be successful or, you know, whoever those people that were attending that event. And perhaps he forgot, you know, the space he was in. He wasn't in the safe nest anymore. So that's me making an excuse, and I have zero relationship with Mark Murphy. I have no idea why I feel like I have to make an excuse for him. But the reality is he did it. He said it. Aaron heard it. Everybody did. And it's just making the swim upstream that much more difficult.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to ask you to net it out in terms of how you know, your prediction on what will happen here. But when you look, all of us who are in the media, we have to have like an opinion. And there are lots of days I leave here and I'm like, why did I say that? Or why did I say that this way? And I think it was funny, your example of running into somebody. That happens all the time. You're like, really? Why did I even need to tell that person that? They shouldn't even know that. Whatever. He is, by all accounts, incredibly bright. Like, this is a guy with a law degree from Georgetown. I think he's got his MBA from like either GW or somewhere else in town. Might be Georgetown, his MBA, or AU, one of those as well. And he was the head of the players union for a while when he was a player. Like, he's really bright. And he said before he started running his mouth, we're not going to play this out publicly. I just think, for whatever reason, I think it's not him speaking without thinking. I think he's right now very sensitive to people blaming just the team, and he's a little bit insecure about that. He wants to get this message out that it's not us. It's this weird guy. It's this guy that's, you know, a complicated fella, which, by the way, Diana, he is, right? Like, everybody knows that Aaron Rodgers is not easy, true or not.
I think that's also, first of all your points are really valid. And, you know, adding to that, I've seen this happen in life, too, where everybody knows someone's something or acts a certain way. But then when it's said publicly, we all get defensive of it. But it's like, well, we've all thought that. Like, everybody knows Aaron's been difficult. I don't really recall a lot of big headlines and storylines of guys telling and sharing that he's this incredible teammate. What's made Aaron an incredible teammate is he just leads by performance. And I think we're all in such awe of his athletic ability and the things that he's been able to do. There hasn't been a coach, I think, in the league who hasn't recognized that he is one of the best. I've gone on TV a million times and have made arguments that I think he's a better quarterback than Tom Brady. And I don't want to get into that whole debate, but he's in that category of greatness. So, you know, I think we know what he is. I think this happens a lot with superstars. But what's working against him, too, is you have other superstars in this league right now who are pretty easygoing and have been given what they need and what they want and seem less high maintenance. Example, Patrick Mahomes. You talk to Patrick Mahomes, I've spent tons of time around him in football settings, social settings. You would think he was a fifth-round draft pick and played running back. Like, he just has nothing about him that reeks star quality and diva-like characteristics, and it's why he is so successful and why people gravitate towards him. And then you have, obviously, Tom Brady, who it's a different type of feel with him, but it's pretty drama-free there. You know, and Kevin, I made a bunch of calls. I love just throwing. It's almost like I have my own radio show on my phone sometimes. I like just asking much smarter people than me in the football world, people outside the league, even some people in the league, just like, how do you see this? How do you view this? You know, and even guys that were attached to Green Bay that are no longer there. And, you know, most bring up that Aaron's not easy, that he's a bit difficult to work with. And he's known for that. And I just don't know if that story has been pumped out enough because he's just so good at what he does. And look, nobody really cares how difficult you are if you're winning and having success. So the next layer to this, okay, so let's move forward, right? So we know that the Green Bay Packers aren't doing a good job with this. Matt LaFleur is saying everything he can possibly say to get this guy back. He's in a really tough spot because you know he wants his quarterback, but he's got to deal with a front office that is not very well liked. But what about Aaron? And let's go in his head right now and at least try to understand. And I've had this thought, too, looking at the situation. How difficult is this going to be for him to, for the lack of a better phrase, eat it? Like, he's basically going to have to eat it if he comes back here and just be like, okay, all is forgiven. In my life, I'm more of like a show me, don't tell me kind of person. So what are the Green Bay Packers going to be able to show Aaron to get him to come back? Because I think he works in the same space. I don't think the words are doing anything anymore.
Yeah, you know, so I do want to get into a little bit more about why he's difficult, because I think everybody understands as NFL fans that Aaron Rodgers has been talked about as being a difficult guy. And what you just said, by the way, the forgiving thing, doesn't seem to be a part of his personality. He is a cut him off, dead to me kind of guy. We've seen that with him and his family. You know, we've seen that with him in some of his significant relationships, and I don't know all the details. But I'm curious as to, you know, why he's difficult. Nobody's really elaborated on that. Like, is he arrogant? Is he the smartest guy in the room kind of a guy, the guy with all the answers? Or is he just sort of a loner, you know, aloof, standoffish? You know, why is he difficult? Do we know that specifically?
The word aloof hit me as you were saying it. And I can only base it on my interactions. I'd rather just talk to that of what I feel and my instincts when I've had conversations with him. I think that's probably a smarter route, because I don't want to speak for others and their interactions with him. You know, and I've had conversations with him at the ESPYs. I've interviewed him a million times. I've talked to him on the red carpet. I've talked to him, obviously, in the locker room. And I will say, like, I'm always a little awkward around him. And it's not, oh my God, it's an Aaron Rodgers thing. Not at all. Especially in a football setting, you don't care who you're talking to. Everyone's the same. Even in a party situation, you know, he's a little strange. There's not that normal sort of back and forth. There's long pauses. He's a great, great listener. That I recall. I was standing in a circle with him and I was telling a story, and he was listening intently to what I was saying. And I just remember thinking, I wish the story was better. Because he's really listening to the story right now.
Right.
You know, which tells me he's probably very cerebral. He observes. And you know, Mina Kimes is a really good friend of mine, and she's interviewed him before. She's had him at her apartment, because that's how she did an interview with him once. And, you know, he's very paranoid, very aware. And I think all these things just start to add up, and it makes somebody very layered. And that, I don't think that's a bad thing, but I think for a football player, it's quite unique, and it doesn't make it easy to connect because of that. And most organizations are made up of, you know, a couple smart corporate people, right, who've been around. You know, you have lawyers, as we mentioned. You know, you have a couple of former CEOs in buildings, you know, that have worked for companies outside the world of sports. But then most of the people that are making up places,
lifers,
are football heads.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that, they just speak a language that, and that's just one way. And he's just not like that. I mean, the guy hosted Jeopardy. You know, that tells you, I think, everything we need to know.
We're talking to, of course, Diana Russini, and I do want to get to our team. Real quickly, it's time for the cash code. This hour's code word is WASH. Text WASH to 72881 before 9 a.m. for your chance to win $1,000 in the national contest. Message and data rates may apply. That's WASH to 72881. Something you said, just wrapping up Aaron Rodgers, and then I want to talk about this team here. You said, will it be easy for him to sort of eat it, you know, to come back? And I think that's a really interesting question. I mean, Green Bay is going to have to almost, this is one of those situations that requires a lot of finesse on the on the side of the employer. Like, they have to make it seem like he won, even if he didn't. You know, and maybe he's too bright to get duped by that, but they have to make him out to be the guy that won this. Do you think they'll be able to pull it off? How does this thing play out and end?
I don't. Just because we've seen a pattern of behavior that doesn't seem too forgiving. I think he's comfortable with uncomfortable. Like, I don't think that bothers him. So, you know, what does that mean happen? You know, what? How do we move forward here? I don't think Green Bay's trading him. I do not get the sense that that is an option on the table. On draft night, the only team that they had a conversation with was the Denver Broncos. And the conversation went, are you willing to trade Aaron Rodgers? No. Hang up. Like, it was a 30-second combo, if it even went that long. Obviously, we know now that, because John Lynch has come out publicly and said that he poked around. He never formally called about the trade, but they all know each other pretty well. So I'm sure it was a couple text messages, like, you know, is this real kind of thing. But the sense is no one's even calling because they just know Green Bay's like, this is not what we're doing. And I've gone on TV and I've given this take, and I got this opinion actually from a, I want to call him out, from a Hall of Fame head coach. So you can do the math and figure out who it was that told me this. He just kept saying, look at the leverage Green Bay has. Stop going on TV and saying Aaron's got it all. He said Green Bay, either way you look at it, they don't have their quarterback coming back. He's either going to sit out. Look, let's just put option A. He comes back, he plays, they fix it. He plays out of his mind this year because he's, you know, obviously in this, you know, space of I need to prove to you how valuable I am, right. And you guys messed up. I want the world to love me and hate you. Okay, so that's A. Let's throw A out, though, right? So you have B and C. B is he sits out all of next year. Then they get to take the time to do some homework on the future draft pick, to figure out, to do some more work on these young rookies coming out, to put together a better package. And, oh, yeah, Jordan Love. Get him going. What if Jordan comes out and starts winning games and they're 5-0 and Aaron's still sitting out? Fans
yeah, but
are
that,
fickle.
That's,
they're gonna get
old. See, I sort of see it, I think, the way maybe you initially saw it when you talked to this former, for this Hall of Fame coach. I think Green Bay has some leverage in that they don't have to do anything. The problem was with not doing anything is that they're probably going to go 4-13 this year without him. You know, they've been with back-to-back Hall of Famers over, you know, a near, you know, we're coming up on nearly, literally since 1994 or whatever, back-to-back Hall of Famers over a 27, 28-year period. I often think that these teams that have no experience of what it's like to be without a franchise quarterback don't understand what it is mm-hmm. like. And so
that night they drafted Jordan Love, I remember thinking that. I was like, gosh, this is a group of people who have, like, they're so angry right now, but they also don't know the other bigger problem, which Washington knows everything about. You know, they've been there so often where it's like, who is our guy? They've been so spoiled in a great way. Good for them. But, you know, to your point, yeah, look, is Jordan Love going to be lights out? I don't think so. Do I think getting all these reps and getting all the attention from this coaching staff and from the players is going to help give them a step forward? Absolutely. Absolutely. It's just, I think we can all agree he's probably not ready yet. He probably still needs more time, and he has no game experience, zero, for being out there. So I see what you're saying. There, either way, it's a lose for Green Bay because they're losing Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, they get three more years to be a contender, a legitimate Super Bowl contender. Let's figure it out. That's the way I would view it. And if they don't, I think they end up, you know, losing as much, if not more, than he does. We're talking to Diana Russini, of course, from ESPN. Let's talk about this team here. You know, I did this call segment last hour. Locally, you know how things play out locally versus what, you know, the national NFL people think about certain teams in certain cities. I do have this sense that locally there's a lot of optimism. They won the division last year, even though it was with 7-9. But a lot of people feel this is a great defense, you know, on the verge of becoming elite. They've got a quarterback that's, you know, with veteran experience that can throw the ball down the field for the first time in 5 years. What does everybody outside this town think about this team and this organization right now?
Well, it's contagious. Fortunately, the cicadas aren't, but the vibe in, you know, locally has really taken a life of its own nationally. I'm on enough shows where, you know, we have to pick winners of the division, and really smart people on ESPN pick the Washington football team often. We highlight them constantly because of all the points that you just made. Obviously, their defense is the headline, but the fact that Ryan Fitzpatrick was, in my opinion, I thought that was just an odd signing. I wasn't even really for it in terms of them trying to have some success, but the fact that they're stripping back the layers here of him and I think finding all the advantages of having a guy like him and seeing it work already is then worth it. Then, you know, I was definitely wrong. I mean, we'll see when the regular season gets here, but I love reading some of the articles I've seen already about just how he's impacted the receivers and just the, obviously having a teacher out there. You know, even just, look, let's just talk about the organization as a whole. And I'm still really good friends with so many of the beat reporters down there. And I love to give them a hard time. Anytime there's a headline about something positive about Washington, and it's almost never football related because they just do so many great things in the community now. And you've done a, you know, Dan Snyder's done an amazing job of cleaning up certain things. You know, I'm like, what is going on? Why are you guys turning into the team that's, you know, the charitable one? And I mean, great for them, but it's from my perspective, I notice it more. Oh my gosh, they're really into changing the view. And maybe they just have someone really smart behind the scenes going, we need help. We've really dug a hole over the last 20 years. I was going to say 5, 10, but I realized I'm like probably like 20. You know, and good for them. And I think that's, I think it's been helpful. I really do. Even just the first day of school photos that they did, like, I thought that was really smart. It was creative. It made them so likable. And that stuff may seem dumb to your listeners right now, who I know are real football.
No, a lot of people loved it.
I saw it early, and I retweeted it, and I could not believe how many people responded to just my retweet of it. I was like, wow, everyone really loved this. And that's so unlike Washington. So just from the, you know, to quote the great Bruce Allen, winning off the field, you know, they're doing a phenomenal job. And now I think even from a football perspective, Ron Rivera's done a nice job here. I think there's some momentum. There's momentum into the positive space headed into Richmond this summer.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, everything you just referenced was essentially winning off the field. And some of us just would like to see him win more than 10 games once for the first time in 30 years. I would say Spring Lake and Avon over Cape May, Lavalette, some of the other ones down south. That would be my choice for Jersey beaches. It's always
You at the Parker House.
It's a good spot. It's great to catch up with you. I hope you're well. We'll talk soon.
I always enjoy. I think you're one of the smartest people on the radio across the country. I do these all the time. I love talking to you.
All right, Diana, I'll talk to you. That's very nice of you to say. We'll talk soon. Thanks so much.
Work on a compliment. Bye.
Bye. Diana Russini, the greatest athlete, female athlete in the history of the state of New Jersey. A four-sport all-state selection. How many people do you know that played four sports and made all-state in all four of them? I mean, you have three seasons, right? You got fall, you got winter, you got spring in both of them. Step into the bettor's box with BetMGM. They are the official sports betting partner of the Washington Nationals. You can now place bets on BetMGM's state-of-the-art app from anywhere within two blocks of Nats Park. That means whether you're at home or in the neighborhood, you can take advantage of BetMGM's innovative parlay selection builders, daily promotions, boosted odds specials, and much more. Plus, you'll enjoy exclusive offers designed just for Nats fans. BetMGM's the best place to bet on baseball and all your favorite sports all year long. And with M Life Rewards, the award-winning loyalty program at MGM Resorts, you'll earn valuable points every time you make a wager. Download the BetMGM app and get a piece of the action. And whenever you're in or around Nats Park, you can bet with the BetMGM app. It's always showtime when you're playing with BetMGM. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. You must be 21 or older. Virginia or D.C. only. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
So, I mentioned this earlier in the show, and Brendan and I talked about it a little bit yesterday. Yesterday, we did these, we sort of looked at the NFC East, and we said, you know, what's the best offense in the NFC East? It's Dallas. What's the second best offense? We both said Washington. What's the best defense in the NFC East? We both said clear-cut Washington. By the way, we both said, and I think it's really not debatable, that the best offense clear-cut is Dallas's offense. And then we got to the coaches and we said, what about coaches? Let's rank them there. And I said, you know what? I think Ron Rivera and staff are the best coaching staff in the division. First of all, we know nothing about Philadelphia's, so it's almost like you can't even rank Nick Sirianni and company. We've only got 1 year of Joe Judge and Jason Garrett together. And you know, I liked what I saw from him actually. And I have a gut feel that he may have been the right choice in New York. We'll see. But it really comes down to, you know, Rivera versus McCarthy or Rivera's staff versus McCarthy's staff. And yesterday on the show, you and I both said that we thought Rivera and his staff were the best in the division, followed by McCarthy. Now, you've subsequently changed your mind on this. You gave it more thought and you would put McCarthy and staff number one.
I think I would, just because of where they were last year on defense and the upgrade that Dan Quinn brings over Mike Nolan. It's just, it's so massive because Mike Nolan is one of the worst coordinators of the last decade, and how he got a job and how Mike McCarthy gave him a job. You know what? Maybe that's not the best indication that he gave him a job, first defensive coordinator in the new place, and he thought, let's give him to Mike Nolan. Not great, but bringing in Dan Quinn is a really good hire. Kellen Moore, not Kellen Mond, like I keep saying to you. Kellen Moore, very good offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. He was on pace to have Dak Prescott throw for almost 6,000 yards before he got hurt. And we know what Scott Turner can be. I don't think we've gotten to see his final form yet because he hasn't had a quarterback. But Kellen Moore seems like a safer bet on offense. I think Ron Rivera is the safer bet as the head coach, but I'm not 100% sure that Jack Del Rio will be the better defensive coordinator, but he'll have the better talent. So I've gone back and forth on it, and I kind of think the Dallas staff might be better, but that's only because I think Kellen Moore can put together a better offense. But again, he's got better talent. So I'm not 100% sold on that idea. Maybe you can talk me out of this, but I kind of think the Dallas staff might be better.
Okay. So let me just tell you that I've never been a Mike McCarthy fan. I've never quite bashed him in the same way that his own fan base in Green Bay bashed him. Let me just make one quick comment. If you were to ask most 100 Green Bay fans if they'd like Mike McCarthy back as their head coach, maybe 2 out of 100 would say yes. If you were to ask Carolina Panther fans if they would love Ron Rivera back as their head coach, and I'm talking about when it ended, not now, all right, not after Matt LaFleur's had a couple of years and Matt Rhule looks like an exciting new young coach. I'm talking about when they got fired. Half of the Panthers fan base still believed in Ron Rivera as a coach. Qualitatively, this is just me as a football fan. I have always thought that Ron Rivera, it's why I was excited when Washington hired him and why I thought they had actually overachieved, outkicked their coverage when they hired him. I think Ron Rivera, in watching him from afar, has always been one of those coaches that has gotten more out of less. And I think McCarthy's always been one of those coaches watching from afar that's always gotten less out of more. So even when McCarthy was in Green Bay and Rivera was in Carolina, I would have chosen Ron Rivera as the better coach. I know what the numbers are. Okay, I can read resumes. I know McCarthy had 10 winning seasons in 14 years as a head coach in Green Bay, was 10-8 in the postseason, and won a Super Bowl. And I know that Rivera only technically had 3 winning seasons in the 9 that he was in Carolina, and 3-10 overall if you count Washington. With that said, in the 10 seasons that he's been a head coach, his teams have gone to the playoffs 5 times. It just so happens that 2 of those years they won the division, in the NFC South in 2014 and in the NFC East in 2020, with a losing record. But out of the 10 seasons he's been there, he's taken lesser teams, in my view, to the postseason 5 times, and he got the team with Cam Newton during his one great season, MVP season, to the Super Bowl. And by the way, when he didn't make the playoffs and he didn't have a decent season, in most of those years, Cam was not Cam. Cam was either hurt or compromised based on injury. McCarthy, for me, rode the coattails of Brett Favre and of Aaron Rodgers, and underachieved with Rodgers specifically. Rivera never had the quarterback that McCarthy had. Cam's good. Don't get me wrong. Cam had a couple of very good years. But he's not Brett Favre, and he's not Aaron Rodgers. And I always felt like Rivera got more out of less. So I understand the record difference. They both have a winning record. They've both been to the playoffs a lot of times. They've both coached some really good teams. But to me, Ron Rivera is a better head coach than Mike McCarthy. I thought that when he was in Carolina and McCarthy was in Green Bay. And I think that now with Rivera here and with McCarthy in Dallas. By the way, I want to make one thing clear. I don't think Ron Rivera is an elite head coach. Okay, I don't think that he's Bill Belichick or Andy Reid or Sean Payton or, you know, even Kyle Shanahan at this point. Frank Reich I like a lot as a head coach right now. I think Mike Tomlin is a very good head coach. I don't think Ron Rivera is Mike Tomlin, to be honest with you. Tomlin really proved a lot to me 2 years ago when they didn't have Roethlisberger. Who am I forgetting on the list? McVay, Harbaugh. He's not an elite head coach. He's not in the top 10 of head coaches, but I think when you get to the conversation of 10 to 15, he starts to enter that conversation and McCarthy doesn't. That's all I'm saying.
I think that's fair. You're right, though. None of the head coaches in the NFC East would be considered elite or even above average head coaches. I think Rivera and McCarthy are the closest to being above average, but I don't think I'd put either of them in the top 15.
I was looking through like recent rankings. Obviously, it's very subjective. We're trying to get the Pro Football Focus because they just did a ranking of all 32 head coaches, but you got to be a member to get the whole list. We got the top 7, and neither McCarthy or Rivera were in the top 7, obviously. But NBC Sports, the NBCSportsEdge.com did a recent June 1st ranking of the 32 coaches, and Rivera was 17 on the list, and McCarthy was 20. So they had Rivera ranked 3 spots ahead of McCarthy. And by the way, I'm talking right now about Rivera versus McCarthy, and I know part of the conversation was the Washington staff versus the Dallas staff, and I would agree with you. I think Dan Quinn is a massive upgrade for Dallas. And by the way, I think Dallas has more defensive talent than most people actually understand, and I think they'll be better on defense. Just like Washington had good talent and needed better coaching and got it with Rivera and Del Rio. But I would still take Rivera and staff with a slight nod over McCarthy and staff, but I would definitely head up, head coach for head coach, take Rivera over McCarthy. What do you guys think? 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980, or BetQL listener lines are open.
best coaching staff in the NFC East? And if you want to add, would you take Rivera or McCarthy right now? If you were given the choice, who would you take? Answer that one as well. We'll open up phone lines on that. There's some breaking NBA news. We will get to that with our What's Trending when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980, team980.com. We are also on the Odyssey app.
Here's what's trending on the Team 980.
Yeah, there's some breaking news this morning from the NBA. Our breaking news powered by BetQL. Become a better sports bettor today. Shams Charania from The Athletic covers the NBA, reporting that Chris Paul, the point guard for the Phoenix Suns, who are waiting to find out who their Western Conference Finals opponent will be, he's entered the COVID-19 health and safety protocol and is sidelined for an indefinite period of time. He goes on to say that Paul's status for the start of the Western Conference Finals is currently up in the air. Noteworthy, though, depending on the medical circumstance, an isolation period could be shorter for a vaccinated individual. No word yet on whether or not he has been vaccinated. The Nats beat the Pirates. That's two in a row for them. 8-1 the final. Patrick Corbin outstanding. Pitched eight complete. Struck out seven. Another against the Pirates to finish up that three-game set this afternoon at 4:05. Last night, Kevin Durant had one of the all-time brilliant individual performances as the Nets rallied from 17 down to beat 114-108 to take a 3-2 series lead. Durant, 49 points, 17 rebounds, 10 assists, never came out of the game. Tonight, Sixers-Hawks game 5, Clippers-Jazz game 5, Philly's a 6-point favorite in their game, Utah a 2.5-point favorite in theirs. Tampa Bay knotted their series with the New York Islanders at a game apiece with a 4-2 win, and Bradley Beal made the third team All-NBA yesterday. First Wizard to make it since 2016-2017. He finished on the third team as the fourth highest vote getter on that third team, one spot ahead of Kyrie Irving. All right, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Who's got the best coaching staff in the NFC East? I think it's Washington. And I would definitely take Ron Rivera over Mike McCarthy. Tommy and I got into this yesterday on my podcast, and he thinks I'm nuts. And all he looked at was Mike McCarthy's record of 10 winning seasons in 14 and the 10-8 playoff record and the Super Bowl title. And I said, well, that's great. What would he have done with Cam Newton as a sometimes healthy, sometimes not quarterback in Carolina? I don't think he would have done as much as Rivera. I'm not one that just looks at Super Bowl titles and says, well, that means that guy's a better coach. You know, if we did that, you know, on the player side, we'd think that Trent Dilfer was a better quarterback than Sonny Jurgensen, and we all know that's not true. I just, in watching as a football fan over the years, I think Ron Rivera is a better coach than Mike McCarthy. To me, he's always gotten more out of less, while McCarthy's always gotten less out of more. Jalen, go ahead.
Good morning, Kevin.
What's up, Jalen?
So I firmly agree with you. I believe that Washington has the best coaching staff as well. I mean, primarily for the point that you just touched on. I mean, you think about that 15-1 season in Carolina. Carolina, they didn't have a whole lot of talent offensively. They didn't wow you, you know, with like all right. Pros on the outside. I mean, yeah, Cam had an MVP season that year, but I look at Ron and just his leadership, his style. He's a no, you know, tolerance type of guy. And I just feel like his leadership just goes a long way with the players. You know, you either get along or you don't get along at all. And whereas Mike McCarthy, you know, I don't think that he has that same type of respect, you know, from the players that he's coached. Now, granted, you know, he has coached a lot of good teams, but, you know, just this past year, I just look at just how Dallas played, you know, offensively, defensively. I feel like that our team is more fundamentally sound when it comes to just, you know, playing a position and stuff like that. So I look at those things well, and with another year, especially with this defense, I'm looking forward to what we can become just fundamentally and just technically. I just feel like that everything that we're putting in place right now, Ron is establishing a culture, and you look at how hard that has, even though we didn't win, win more than seven games last year, but I look at the job that he did and say, well, if we can get to the playoffs and play the Super Bowl champions with the talent that we had last year, imagine what we can do with another year and, you know, upgrades on offense. So I'm excited about it, but I really think that our team has by far the best coaching staff.
Thanks for the call. Look, Clay's texting me. You know, look at Kellen Moore's offenses and production versus Turner's. Well, Turner's got one season as an offensive coordinator. So, of course, right now, Kellen Moore's more accomplished as an OC than Scott Turner. Yes, Dan Quinn was really a very good defensive coordinator in Seattle before becoming the head coach in Atlanta. And Del Rio's been okay. I don't just look at Washington's defensive coordinator and think Jack Del Rio. I think it's a combined brain trust of Rivera and Jack Del Rio. In looking at the head coaches, I'm sorry. Like, I think you'd be hard-pressed right now to find rankings of head coaches and to find more of those rankings from NFL people that have McCarthy ahead of Rivera. I think in more cases, you're going to find Rivera ranked ahead of McCarthy. Look, it's a subjective thing. I'm not trying to couch it based on other people's opinions, but for some of you that think it's a slam dunk, like Clay and some of the Cowboy fans and Tommy, no, it's a very debatable issue. Rivera, first of all, you know, in their first two meetings as Washington and Dallas's head coach, I know that they didn't have Dak Prescott. I understand that. And I do think that McCarthy and the Cowboys would have won the division last year had Dak Prescott not gotten hurt. I do. But I also thought that there was an opportunity for McCarthy to sort of coach him up a little bit, get more out of less. Washington played four quarterbacks last year too. You know, they played four last year. And Rivera coached him up. And McCarthy and his team pretty much, you know, they had that one run over a couple of bad teams late in the year where they got some wins, but they got blown the blank out a lot. Washington twice, Arizona crushed them after Dak was out. Like, he rode Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre. But let me be clear. I'm not saying that Ron Rivera is an elite coach or that this is an elite coaching staff. It's a massive improvement over the last one. I think we all understand that. But I just think it's a better staff, and I think Rivera as a head coach is a better head coach than Mike McCarthy. I don't know what Joe Judge will be. And I do think that the Giants had a very good offseason, and I think they were close last year to being better than their record turned out to be. I think they're a very intriguing team entering this upcoming season in the division. Kevin Durant, brilliant last night. I ate some crow earlier in the show. You can download the Odyssey app and you can listen to that. But let me be clear, you know, in my defense, I said without Durant or Kyrie, I didn't know that he would be able to do it. And I thought we would have seen more of what we saw late Sunday. Harden wasn't great, but Milwaukee treated him like he was a threat, which I thought was a big mistake. Durant, though, one of the all-time individual great playoff performances. I like the Clippers tonight, plus the 2.5, plus the 3, to win Game 5. And I think Kawhi will end up having another brilliant clutch performance tonight late. Thanks to Diana Russini. Thanks to all of you who called. Thanks to Brendan. Up next, Travis Thomas. Stay tuned for that.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.